sports and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.
CBS News Brief. The image of what House Democrats say is a crude note President Trump wrote to a child sex offender is now public. CBS's Bradley Blackburn.
The signature Donald appears at the bottom of a message to Jeffrey Epstein, referencing a wonderful secret within a scrawled outline of a naked female form.
The president is once again denying he wrote that note or drew the picture. The Supreme Court's given the Trump administration the go-ahead to step up ICE raids in Los Angeles. Chandra Bhatnagar heads Southern California's ACLU.
We cannot accept a society where people are treated this way because of how they look.
A new study in The Lancet on people with diabetes. Researcher Lauren Stafford at the University of Washington.
The U.S. is doing okay in diagnosing people with diabetes. It's definitely more than the 50% average for the world. Globally, about 90% of those diagnosed with diabetes are on some kind of pharmacological treatment.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Wattles. Milwaukee County Executive David Crawley officially launched his campaign for governor this morning. He becomes the second Democrat to enter the race after Governor Tony Evers announced he won't seek re-election. Crawley joins Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, who jumped in the race the day after Evers' decision. In his campaign video, Crawley attacked Republicans and President Donald Trump, saying Wisconsin needs to, quote, unite and fight back. On the Republican side, Washington County Executive Josh Shulman and businessman Bill Berrien are running, while Representative Tom Tiffany is still weighing a bid. Racine's council already said yes. Now leaders in Milwaukee take their turn. The City of Milwaukee Public Works Committee will consider creating a new regional passenger rail commission at its meeting tomorrow. The proposal calls for Milwaukee to join Racine and Kenosha in forming a group to coordinate rail service and expansion between the three cities. Supporters say the commission could help find federal funding and improve transit options in southeastern Wisconsin. Details on costs and next steps are still to come. The Racine Common Council has moved it forward on their end. City of Kenosha leaders haven't yet taken up the idea that's been around for several decades. Lowering energy costs is causing We Energies to give some money back. We Energies customers will see a refund on their September and October electric bills thanks to lower-than-expected fuel costs. For a typical household, the savings add up to about $25. The effects of a recent ban will linger. Savannah Tomey Olson has more.
Check out a vape shop here in Wisconsin, and many of them have bare shelves. Lawmakers passed a bill banning vaping devices that are not listed in the Wisconsin Department of Revenue's directory. It was passed into law and signed, and it went into effect on September 1st. A coalition of vape shops have filed a lawsuit. On Friday, a federal judge ruled against the coalition, saying the law could go into effect. It was passed in 2023. He said the sellers had 19 months to challenge it.
And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Wattles.
Some injuries for the Packers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NFL. The Packers have 14 players on the injury list following Sunday's win over the Lions. New additions include right tackle Zach Tom with a sore hip, left guard Aaron Banks listed with an ankle. The Packers host the Washington Commanders this Thursday night, kickoff at 7:15. On Monday Night Football, the Vikings beat the Bears in Chicago, 27-24. Baseball, the Brewers face the Rangers tonight in Arlington, Texas. The crew shut out by the Rangers last night, 5-0. Milwaukee's Jose Quintana had a no-hitter going until the fifth when Michael Hellman hit a grand slam with two outs. Pat Murphy.
Get two outs in the inning and make an 0-2 pitch that just doesn't get to where you want. Unfortunate, a great credit to the Rangers hitter. Drove in all five runs, I believe, tonight. Great credit to him. Credit to their starting pitching. Their starting pitcher, he was fantastic. The catchers, I've always liked this kid. He really does a great job behind the dish.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This report on WAUK is sponsored by Pickleball Kingdom, just a half mile north of Silver Spring Drive off Pilgrim Road, Menominee Falls. Pickleball Kingdom.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Some stellar September weather to continue today with mostly sunny skies with highs in the low to mid 70s. For tonight, mostly cloudy, lows in the upper 50s. Beautiful again on Wednesday, plenty of sunshine, high temperatures in the mid-70s. Right now, it's 51.
Everyone's playing pickleball, and Pickleball Kingdom in Menominee Falls is where it's at. They have 17 pro courts. There's no waiting around, court times that fit your schedule, plus an impressive pro shop, event space, full locker rooms with showers, and a bar with big screen TVs so you can catch the action live. Just a half mile north of Silver Spring Drive off Pilgrim Road. Follow them on Instagram or Facebook. Pickleball Kingdom, Menominee Falls.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5:30, we talk with the indomitable Stacey Abrams about how to build the big tent for Democrats in 2026 to return this country to the hands of working people. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
Wisconsin on Civic Media. You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is a Tuesday morning, September 9th, 2025. It's another beautiful morning to have you up here. Up North, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network and all the other ways that could bring you right here to beautiful Chippewa Waffles. We are very happy that you are starting your day right here. I got a question for you. It's one of those semi-serious news questions, but every so often I feel the need to ask it. Is it possible to be both an evil genius doing diabolical, well-planned things and be stupid as well? If you've been paying attention for the past 7-8 months, you already know the answer to that. But I have these two different examples of how a presidency based in large part on racism has both evil genius tendencies and things that are akin to stepping on a rake. So I will describe that for you coming up in just a bit. Also coming up, I will once again beg, cajole, insist that local media stop engaging in stenography when it comes to Congressman Derek Van Orden, who once again was given coverage that was unencumbered by fact checks or clarifications or context. We will review an event the other night, not a town hall. We're not exactly sure what it was, to celebrate, quote unquote, a new tax policy regarding tips and overtime. It is not nearly as generous or encompassing as you would think, to see how it's being covered by other outlets. We'll be catching up with our friend Jeff Renicky. He's a friend of the Apostle Islands. That's actually the name of the group, Friends of the Apostle Islands. And we'll be talking about the Trump administration's willful neglect of our national parks, how it's being seen in everything from overworked staff and fewer tours to piled up trash and lost revenue that could be keeping our parks in a healthy condition. We will visit with dairy farmer Hans Breitenmoser, along with Sheila Everhart from the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association. You need an updated bucket list. You're going on a road trip, or you see a nice weekend's coming. This weekend's going to be nice. Now, we traveled last weekend. We had a really nice road trip. This weekend for us is going to be, you know, based on house stuff, but maybe this coming weekend is going to be the weekend that you guys can just get away and be whimsical in your planning. Well, Sheila Everhart will give you some ideas on some rural Wisconsin sites to add to your road trip bucket list for fall in Wisconsin. And then we have that new Tuesday tag team covering your capitals in both Madison and Washington, D.C. We'll have Cam Stevenson live from the nation's capital. We'll talk about the evil genius slash stepping on a rake process when it comes with dealing with Hispanic Americans and undocumented immigrants. And also at the same time deciding it was a good idea to raid a South Korean car factory and battery plant under construction. Boy, is that about to backfire. And then Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area will preview the upcoming session of the Wisconsin Assembly. It's time to look at those bills beyond the state budget and all the ways that they could change life in Wisconsin for you. So Dan will talk all about that. And then Tuesday brings both the Dans, Dan Schaefer and Dan Hagen from Newswatch 12 in Rhinelander, WJFW-TV, will tell us what kind of stories he's working on in the North Woods. And of course, along the way, you might have to go to work. You might have to take the kids to school. You might, in some way, shape, or form, miss some of this. So get over to Spotify, sign up for this program as a podcast, and be able to listen back later on, maybe during, you know, your midday chores or whatever the case may be. So head to Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, and follow us and all kinds of other great civic media shows. We'd love to have you as a subscriber. From meteorologist Brittany Merlot, the state forecast says summer-like weather is around the corner. There will be higher heat. There will be more mugginess. And there will be dry days to close out the week. But first, we got to get through the next 36 hours or so. For today, Brittany says rounds of rain and thunder to the north, cloudy to the south. Highs will be in the mid-60s up north, mid-70s south, with a southwest wind at 10 to 20 miles an hour. Cloudy with spotty showers tonight. Lows tonight in the mid-50s and a south wind at 5 to 10. You can definitely tell the warm front worked its way through the state already, and the after effects of it are still up north as the front moved its way from south to north, because the high temperatures around the state right now are all in the northwestern corner of the state. It is 64 degrees in the Chippewa Valley here right now, and in Menominee. It's also 64 in Burnett. And then the colder spots, like 45, way down in Burlington in the southeast corner of the state. But again, much more summer-like temperatures will be around, coming back one more time. Parker Olson produces this fine program from Madison Studio A2 at the top of State Street, one block away from the state capitol, and joins us now, I believe, through the magic of radio. Mr. Olson, how are you?
The magic of radio? I thought this was the magic of the internet, Mr. Crabbe.
Well, it's a little bit of both. It's got to,
that's true.
Got to get from me to you through the interwebs,
yeah,
and then out to the public through the magic of radio. And
true.
We're very thankful for everybody that's doing that. Was yesterday as glorious there as it was here with that south wind at like 20 miles an hour? And it was, you know, the trees were swaying. It was just a beautiful breeze.
Yeah.
It could not have been a nicer example of a late summer day where you don't have the 90 degree temperatures, but yeah, it's still very pleasant.
Yeah. No, it was very nice. I had absolutely no complaints about the weather. So
yeah. Uh-huh.
There you go. That's a good day in my book. If I don't have anything to complain about, which is hard. So.
Yeah, because life has beaten you down so much and you have so much to complain about otherwise. Alicia puts on YouTube, Mother Nature decided to turn the temperatures upside down. Yes, at least temporarily here. And, you know, like Alicia, if you'd like to, you know, get in on all the fun that we're having here, you definitely can. You head over to Up North News on Facebook or YouTube, or Civic Media on Facebook or YouTube, and jump in the comment section. Tell us what you're up to today, where you're listening from, what you're doing with your days, and also we'll see those, but we'll also see if you use the Civic Media app and use the text function on there, for example, or you can leave us a voice note as well. There's that voice note feature under all the different Civic Media stations, and we'll catch those. We'll listen to them, maybe pop those up on air. And of course, one of these days, we're going to start taking phone calls again.
But one of these right days.
Now, you know.
We're close.
Parker is still, we're still working on that. And I say that half tongue in cheek because, again, it's not a lot of folks racing to call a radio station at 6:14 in the morning.
This is true.
You know, so we have found much more enthusiasm for people that want to, they're still in their pajamas. They've got their mug of coffee and it's just easier to tap out something on your phone or on your computer keyboard. And that's fine. We want to give you all the opportunities to comment and let us know what's on your mind today.
We live in the age of the keyboard warrior, Pat.
We do. We've got it all. So if you are said keyboard warrior, well then by gum, you come on out and say what's on your mind. We we'll get you on the phone at some point. We'll cajole you. We'll bribe you.
You don't understand, guys. We're so close. I thought we had it.
Alicia says technology has a Tuesday morning attitude. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Tech Tuesdays with Pat and Parker. Here we go.
Yep. What did you break this time should be our motto. Also invite you to be a subscriber to the Up North News newsletters weekdays. We've got a new newsletter editor starting this week. And if she's half as good as she was in the job interviews, you're going to love to get to know her. So I'm just teasing you with that. There will be much more time to meet and greet and learn more about the newsletters. But in the meantime, Henry, our summer intern, did just a fantastic job helping out, lighten the load with all of us, contributing to it. And you can sign up for all the work that we do with the newsletters by heading to upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe in the banner up on top of our homepage. There's also our Sunday morning politics newsletter. And in it, there's always a question of the week. And I ask, what caused Donald Trump's flip-flop on the Epstein files? Did he realize that he maybe thought he wasn't going to get caught doing some bad things and realizes he did get caught doing bad things? Or is it a case of he actually isn't listed in the files doing bad things, but he's protecting other people who are listed there? Or is it that he's blackmailing other people who are listed in there, and that's why he hasn't released them yet? Or the fourth option, of course, is he's right. It's all a hoax. And all these women are just making it up. They're all part of a grand conspiracy. Sure, maybe that's one of your answers. Right now, there's been a whole lot of the others. And again, to be one of the first to see the question of the week and respond, head over to upnorthnewswi.com and click subscribe up in the top banner and get on board with those newsletters. Boy, Parker, was I excited watching the first four innings of the Brewers game last night in Texas. It was also a perfect night for baseball in Arlington, Texas.
Yeah,
the roof was open on their new and gorgeous stadium down there. Yeah. And Jose Quintana, put down in the first inning, put him down in order, 1-2-3. Second inning, 4-5-6. Third inning, 7-8-9. Fourth inning, 1-2-3 again. I mean, perfect through four innings. This was looking real good, real good. Yeah. And the wheels came off the bus in the fifth inning where he managed to load the bases. And then Quintana gave up a grand slam to Michael Hellman, his first ever major league grand slam. He drove in all of the Texas runs with a grand slam and later on a double as the Rangers beat the Brewers 5-0 last night. The Brewers were held scoreless for only the 11th time this season. I don't know the whole list of teams and how many times they've been shut out, but I don't think it's been a lot for the Brewers. So I'm saying only the 11th time this season.
Yeah. Okay. All right. It just sucks when you have such a good pitching performance and you get shut out.
Yes, it really does. This is the same team that has had far more four or more run innings than any other team in baseball. They have these big innings all the time where they're busting out the whooping sticks. And then sometimes the sticks appear to have been put into the fire pit and somebody put gasoline on them. So we'll see if we can pick it up again with game two of the series. That's this evening in Texas. Coverage begins at 6:30 on several Civic media stations. By the way, the magic number, Cubs lost. So the magic number to clinch the National League Central Division is 11. To clinch and get into the playoffs, the magic number is just 2. And for the best record, the number one seed, the magic number is only 12. So there's some reason to be hopeful here. Okay. Let's just leave it at that.
The champagne could pop soon.
Yes, it could. So be on the lookout for that. And then of course, a reminder, the Packers on a short week. They've got the Thursday night game this time. I didn't hear all the details from Mike Clemens just now, but he was talking about injuries. And this is always the roughest part of those Thursday night games. Some would say the roughest part. I would say the dumbest part, because I still think Thursday night games are dumb. But they didn't ask for my vote. So it is what it is. And the pregame for Thursday's game against the Washington Commanders will begin at 5 p.m. on Thursday on WRCO in Richland Center, WCQM in Park Falls, WRJAN in Racine, and WAUH in Wautoma. And find those stations and be a listener, because come Thursday, that game is on Amazon Prime. And there's quite a chance that you may not be able to hear that. or watch it, I should say, so you can hear it on Civic Media. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns, it's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Louisiana versus Calais, C-A-L-L-A-I-S, could deal a death blow to the impact, the power, the capacity of the Supreme Court to decide Voting Rights Act cases. This is one of those times when the Supreme Court needs to hear from the public about the appropriate resolution of this major case that could compromise the Voting Rights Act going forward beyond Louisiana.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking, the list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary, and even deadly. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Tomorrow in our homeroom segment, helping taxpayers understand just how much the private school voucher scheme is taking out of our wallets and out of our hometown schools. Heather Dubois-Bornon will talk about a new campaign aimed at that taxpayer transparency that is coming up. I should have mentioned in sports as well, I didn't see it, just heard about it this morning, but the Bears just completely bared last night, apparently ahead handily. But then the Vikings and J.J. McCarthy managed to come all the way back and rallied to win over the Bears late in the game, 27-24. Couldn't happen to a better bunch of folks. David Crawley, the Milwaukee County executive, early this morning made official. He is a candidate for governor, so we will be talking about that later in the morning as well. Now, today's history lesson is only, about 12 minutes away or so. So let me tease you for today's history lesson with a little musical trivia. One of the songs we're going to include is from 1978. The song is Boogie Oogie Oogie from A Taste of Honey. That's the group. My question is, who's doing this iconic bass line? Who's that on the bass? We'll answer that question and more in today's history lesson coming up in just a little bit on these mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, it appears that Congressman Derek Van Orden, who has not hosted a town hall in recent memory, did host some kind of an event in, where was it? Was it Galesville? It was a No Tax on Tips event. at a bar. And there was a story on it by a lacrosse TV station, WKBT. And to read the story, you would think that this was just an entirely positive event and that nobody had any tough questions for the congressman, not in the audience and not in the media as well. It was all about emphasizing, as the WKBT story says, emphasizing the potential financial benefits for service industry workers. The story says Wisconsin's 3rd District representative used the Galesville venue to showcase how the tax policy would directly impact food service employees who rely on gratuities as a significant portion of their income. Van Orden said, we're talking about $25,000 a year worth of tax breaks on tips, and that's the right thing to do, end quote. And the story concludes, Van Orden highlighted the savings and tax cuts that Republicans and President Trump secured for Americans during the previous administration. The congressman framed the no tax on tips proposal as part of a broader Republican economic agenda aimed at reducing the tax burden on working Americans. And that's the end of the story, kids. That's the end of the quote-unquote news coverage. Pardon me for a moment while I let out a deep sigh. I don't know who covered this. I don't know who wrote this. I am not here to single them out other than to say it is a story that is indeed quite representative of how Derek Van Orden has been covered by local news outlets that are, shall we say, bereft of experienced journalists. I mean, was this a town hall? Was this a fundraiser? Was this a drop-in? He has been hiding from his constituents for months. Covering him should kind of be a bigger deal, assuming there were people there who were not simply fawning over him and could ask some tough questions about the real world impact of what it is he voted for. So I am again asking, maybe not begging, but pretty close to demanding that local reporters in and around the 3rd Congressional District stop being stenographers, ask well-prepared questions, don't accept answers that are evasive or rude, as Van Orden is wont to do, or don't worry about asking questions to a guy who's going to be evasive and rude, but at least make sure that your story includes the full story about the claims he's making. For example, the WKBT story could simply go on to say the following. What Congressman Van Orden did not mention at his party is that a review of the bill he supported shows that of the only 3% of American workers who get tips, this change only affects about 1/3 of them. Many tipped workers have such a low income that a deduction from that tipped income would do almost nothing for them. And they'd still have to pay payroll taxes, Social Security and otherwise, state income taxes, and so on. And as for the tax break on overtime, which is typically paid at time and a half, the tax break is only eliminated on the half, and the regular pay level for those working overtime still pays at the same tax rate as before. That's it. That's all that story would have needed to be more complete and, frankly, more fair to the viewer. What I just said there, that part that I added, there is nothing in there that is partisan. There is nothing in there that is even remotely political. What it is journalism. Don't cover the event. Cover the story. The story is a congressman coming out of hiding, saying a bill does one thing, but he's not telling you the whole thing. And when your congressman is not being on the level with you, that's where journalism becomes the public service. We talk about elected officials being public servants. They really, so many of them don't think of themselves that way anymore. And too many journalists think of themselves as just part of, you know, an ownership group, another cog in the business of media. No, you're engaged in a public service as much, if not more so, than the elected officials that you're covering. So perform that public service and tell the full story. If the politician won't answer your questions or if the politician's going to be rude, then simply note that in the story. But then get all the details out there for your viewer, for your listener, for your reader. That really is the least you can do if you're going to have a role in media covering our elected officials in this day and age. All right, coming up, we will have today's history lesson, including who is on that iconic bass line from Boogie Oogie Oogie. In the meantime, here comes the Midwest Farm Report. Thanks for spending some time here as part of your mornings. Powered by Up North News, I'm Pat Kreitlow on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
DATCAP is proposing an increase in fees for livestock yards, dealers, and haulers. But what exactly will these increased fees be affecting? I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report. And Kurt Larson, the president and CEO of Equity Livestock, is here to share who the Chapter 10 fee increases would affect.
There's ATCP 10, and you know, 10 governs a lot of registrations for deer farms and fish farms, but it also has the certificates of veterinary inspection, also known as health papers. So for animals crossing a state line or going to shows, that's going to affect those types of individuals. And then if anybody's a facility that where they get a brucellosis or tuberculosis free certification, those are in that part. And again, that the health papers do affect what we do.
Kurt Larson, the president and CEO of Equity Livestock, joining us. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo, and we'll take a look at how the markets finished yesterday right after this.
REFA, it's not a government agency, it's not a developer, and it's not your cousin's friend who knows a guy. It's the Renewable Energy Farmers of America, an association of farmers and ranchers dedicated to helping landowners navigate renewable energy decisions. Whether you already host a project or are considering one, REFA membership gives you the resources and support to make the right decisions for your land and legacy. See what REFA is and what it's not at renewableenergyfarmers.org.
We want milk fat! We want milk fat!
There's a full house in the stands tonight, and it sounds like they're demanding higher milk fat and lower feed costs.
Plenty, plenty, plenty.
These fans know that growing Pioneer brand Plenish high oleic soybeans for dairy rations can help producers increase milk fat production without increasing feed costs.
For dairy farmers, it's Plenish soybeans for the winning return on investment.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/feedplenish.
Welcome back. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report. Now let's look at how the markets closed yesterday. Cash and new crop corn closed up 3 3/4 at 421 3/4, and cash and new crop soybeans closed up 6 3/4 at 1033 3/4. December wheat closed up 4.5 at 523 3/4. 40-pound blocks of cheese are up a half a penny at 169.5. And butter gained a quarter of a penny at 202.5. Make sure to stay up to date on all things agriculture by downloading our app, The Farm. You can download it at thefarmwi.com or by finding it on your app store. Giving you a look at the markets this morning from the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
This report on 540 WAUK is sponsored by Horizons Law Group. Learn more online at horizonslaw.com.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Some stellar September weather to continue today with mostly sunny skies with highs in the low to mid 70s. For tonight, mostly cloudy, lows in the upper 50s. Beautiful again on Wednesday, plenty of sunshine. High temperatures in the mid-70s. Right now, it's 51.
50% of marriages end in divorce. Many of you listening may need our services. I'm Michelle Fitzgerald, founder of Horizons Law Group in Brookfield. Every divorce is different, so we offer a range of options, including flat fee, limited scope, mediation, and traditional divorce services. Don't go it alone. Educate yourself. Call Horizons Law Group, 262-432-3600, or visit horizonslaw.com. Horizons Law Group, where we educate, collaborate, mediate, or litigate to serve you best.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day, when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
A handshake deal with a South Dakota senator to fund public radio. What could go wrong? Brian Wadsworth of Native Public Radio joins us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Welcome back. Your dreams were your ticket. Welcome back to that same.
Welcome back to today's history lesson for this September 9th, 9/9/25, and we begin with the premiere of the TV series Welcome Back, Cotter, which debuted on ABC this date 50 years ago. It still is going to hit me every time I do something from 1975 and go, wait, it's been 50 years? Yeah, it is. The TV show about one of the former sweat hogs, as the kids all called themselves at this high school in I want to say, was it Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City?
Well, I don't know.
He later becomes a teacher, and he comes back, and now he has to be the teacher to the same rambunctious type of students that he once was himself. The theme song there, that was written by John Sebastian of the Love and Spoonful, performed by him as well. And it would be the number one song on the charts next year, as Welcome Back, Cotter caught on and became a highly rated ABC show. Another media story, the Radio Corporation of America, later known as RCA, on this day in 1926, launched its new radio network, the National Broadcasting Company, later known as NBC. So the NBC radio network began this day in 1926. All right, let's see. We've got what else in today's history lesson here? Got to scroll down. Oh, we've got a lot of birthdays today. We've got Dave Stewart is 73 from the Eurythmics, along with Annie Lennox. Hugh Grant is 65 years old today. And today marks the birth 84 years ago of Otis Redding, who died way too soon, a plane crash in Madison at the age of 26. But Otis Redding was born this day in 1941. Everybody goes, well, it's Otis Redding. You're going to play Sitting on the Dock of the Bay, right? No, we're not. Because there's some songs when there's only like one version that's good and the rest are like pale comparisons. But respect, of course, Aretha Franklin, you know, but Otis Redding as well. Really nice version of that one got more than its share of airplay. And he would have done much more with it had he not passed away so soon at the age of 26. Adam Sandler is 59 years old today. Eric Stone Street of Modern Family is 54. The Bublé, Michael Bublé, is 50 years old today. John Kuhn,
former,
is 44. I like that he's really embraced the broadcast thing now. He's on the games. He's in the booth. Now he's doing TV commercials. So,
oh, is he? I don't think I've seen those.
Oh, yeah. I forget what it's for now, but I want to say it's for Pottawatomie, for the sports book.
Okay.
I think. So, you know, good for him. Sometimes these athletes, they leave, you know, they retire. You never hear from them again. Like, what happened to so-and-so? And then you got, like, Donald Driver. I mean, honestly, you expect to get in your car one day and he's in the back seat. Hi, I'm Donald Driver. I brought you some sub sandwiches, and I'm writing you a ticket for not wearing your seatbelt. He's everywhere.
Yeah, I do like players that stick around like this.
Now, I know there's folks saying, well, wait, it's Michael Bublé's 50th birthday. Where's the song from Michael Bublé? To which I say, you're welcome. Let's move on to Elvis Presley. On this day in 1956, Elvis made the first of three contracted appearances on the Ed Sullivan Show. Here's the clip of him performing Don't Be Cruel. Don't Be Cruel.
I can be found. Sitting home all alone. If you can't come around.
I'm surprised the crowd is that restrained as they were. He also would sing Love Me Tender, Ready Teddy, and Hound Dog, but he was shot from the waist up to avoid scandal.
And don't want to see those hips moving.
And the show built an audience of a staggering, listen to this. This is 1956. 54 million viewers.
I didn't know there were that many TVs.
I don't even know that the Super Bowl gets that much for raw numbers anymore. Wow. I could be wrong. I mean, your typical number one show used to get like maybe 20 million viewers.
Sure.
And now it struggles to get that. But again, you only had two or three channels at the time. So you were going to watch Elvis whether you wanted to or not. And most people most decidedly did.
They wanted to watch. All right.
Let's go to 1972. The new album there was from Jim Croce.
Got its hustlers, the Bowery got its bums. 42nd Street got Big Jim, a walker, he a bull shooting son of a gun.
If you were to listen just to the history lesson, and we just talked about Otis Redding dying too soon in that plane crash in Lake Monona, and then Jim Croce, we lost him way too soon in an airplane crash, and we talked about Patsy Cline, I believe just yesterday, you'd think maybe the advice for musicians is not to get in airplanes. But remember, a lot of these were in the 50s and 60s. And it's not that planes don't crash anymore, but it was definitely a different era back then. And Jim Croce was approaching his peak with hits off that album, You Don't Mess Around With Jim, from this week in 1972. On this day in 1976, the answer to the question, you know, when did we decide to call ourselves the United States of America? Of all the things you could have picked for a country, I know they talked about like New Columbia and, you know, other names that were bandied about. But it was on this day in 1776, the Continental Congress officially named its Union of States as the United States, which seems pretty basic. Like, what are we going to call ourselves? We're just a bunch of states. Yeah, but we're United States. Wait a minute.
I got an idea. Like,
wait a minute. We're just a bunch of baseball players. What are we going to call ourselves? Let's go with the ball players. It's brilliant.
Yeah. Go ahead. What? So I would like to hear an alternative, Pat. What would your name have been for the United States?
That's a very good question. Maybe not England.
Not England. Okay. I'd have gone with anti-England. Yeah.
Anti-England. See, that would have worked out as well. On this day in 1791, so what, 15 years later or so, the capital city of the United States, the new capital city, would be named Washington, D.C., named after President George Washington. So there are those who say it will be renamed Trump, D.C. within the next year or two.
Oh, no. No.
Some could. All right, let's get to that little bit of trivia there. A Taste of Honey and Boogie Oogie Oogie. That was the number one song this week in 1978. Let's give a listen again to the start of it. Now, A Taste of Honey, the lead singer, her name was Janice Marie Johnson. They had a drummer, a keyboardist, they had a lead guitar player. But what I didn't know till now was the person putting down this bass... Oh, I hit it too soon. I thought it was the short radio edit. But forget it. We'll get this in post-production. We'll be back.
When you listen to this on the podcast, it'll be perfect.
A lead guitar, but what I didn't know till now was the person pulling down this bass line. Nailed it.
Attaboy.
Person nailing down the bass line was also Janice Marie Johnson, the singer. And is also a member of the Native American Music Association Hall of Fame. Number one song this week in 1978. On this day in 1999, a new park opened in Winslow, Arizona. And if I say Winslow, Arizona, if you're a really good fan of the Eagles, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. The park is called Standing on the Corner Park for that Eagle song, Take It Easy. And it goes like this. There you go. And I know you're thinking, well, why didn't you bring that up yesterday? And you know why? Because was it last year? I want to say last year. Maybe it was 2 years ago. when Dr. Kristen Lyerly was there and sent us a photograph of her at Standing on the Corner Park in Winslow, Arizona, featuring a statue of a man with a guitar standing on the corner. And the park quickly became a popular photo op for folks passing through Winslow, Arizona. Huh. Dr. Lyerly included, of course.
Of course she is. I was unaware of this. Of course she partook in this. All right.
Of course she did. On this day in 2014, hey, who doesn't like a free gift? Well, apparently about 500 million of us iTunes users at the time who created an uproar when U2's new album, Songs of Innocence, showed up in our personal libraries without costing anything, but also without anyone's permission to put their album in our personal music library. In other words, it was digital zucchini. You can't just come into our music collection front porch and leave us stuff that we didn't ask for.
I was not expecting a dig at Luke there.
It wasn't a dig at Luke Mathers necessarily, but yeah, it was digital zucchini is the way that I choose to look at it. And you would try to like delete it, and like it may or may not work. It might still actually be there in my phone for all I know, but it's a lot different now. Now there's just stuff that comes up random because the streaming services, you know, they're trying to use AI and guess what you want to hear next. Yeah. Sometimes it works, you know, sometimes not so much.
And it's all free now.
And what do you mean it's all free?
Like Spotify, it's free.
Well,
you can just listen to stuff.
They're gonna find a way to get you, though. They're gonna want you to subscribe to something extra or
whatever.
Well,
I pay for Spotify, yeah, but
okay, there you go. Mathers on the text line. Yeah, that was kind of a dig, but I agree. I hated that album. And that was the problem. People did listen to the album and go, you know, not everything that you do is great. I mean, look at the Beatles. I point you to Michelle. Listen to that song and tell me the Beatles had 100% record. They did not. Every so often, one of them's going to miss. This week in 2006, we got this lead single from Justin Timberlake's second solo album. I know, I'm waiting for it to do something as well.
Sexy Back.
There we go. Thank you, Justin. So anyway, Sexy Back was the lead single from the album Future Sex Love Song Love Sounds, and it hit number one this week in 2006 and would stay there for 7 weeks. 2 years later, in 2008, music news would be made by Donnie and Marie, of all people. Donnie and Marie Osmond, this week in 2008, kicked off what was supposed to be a 6-week residency at the Flamingo Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. But the show was so popular, instead of 6 weeks, the show ran for 11 years. Finally coming to an end in 2019 when Marie wanted to, you know, step down. Donny Osmond still performing quite regularly.
Huh. I'm no expert, but I think 11 years is a little longer than 6 weeks.
A little bit, yeah. The math definitely works on there. Tony says, it was so nice of Justin to write a song about me. Sure.
I thought it was
sure
about Pat.
Yeah, sure. Sure. Yeah. Let's see. Today on the International Day Calendar, it is International Box Wine Day. Much of a wine drinker. No. I thought when box wine came out, I thought people would welcome that. Like, you know, better packaging and, you know, it would stay fresh longer without the cork thing. Oh, no. No. Box wine was quickly relegated to, you know, that thing that people look down on, but it's still around. Plenty of people still drink their box wine. This is the National Teddy Bear Day and International Sudoku Day. And I can say in all honesty, I have never played Sudoku.
Never. That seems like such a you thing to do.
I know. And I've just never gotten around to it. So anyway, Roger asks from Stevens Point on Facebook, does anyone still Wordle? That too is a valid question.
Yeah.
I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north. Wow, that's annoying, isn't it?
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Utah voters are back on a path to fair maps, as a state circuit court judge ruled congressional districts must be redrawn by September 25th. The state Supreme Court ruled last summer that the legislature's attempt at circumventing a citizen-led independent redistricting commission by passing contrary state statutes was unconstitutional. In 2018, Utah voters approved Better Boundaries Proposition 4, establishing a commission independent from the legislature charged with creating fair, communities of interest-driven maps for Congress, state legislature, and school districts. Ignoring the voters, the GOP-dominated legislature passed laws to make the commission advisory instead of independent, and gerrymandered the maps anyway. When the state Supreme Court ruled the legislature couldn't overrule voters, lawmakers proposed Amendment D to give it that authority. Its language was later ruled deceptive. August 25th, 3rd District Court Judge Diana Gibson ordered the legislature to create congressional districts by September 25th, using the fair maps criteria as approved by the voters to be reviewed by the court November 10th. The Utah News-Dispatch reports that Utah's GOP leadership will begrudgingly comply with the court's order. The maps will be in place for the 2026 midterms. We have the judge's order and more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal. We're on Blue Sky at Democracy Minute.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
James Santel joining me. Donald Trump just flat out threatening Federal Reserve Governor Lisa Cook.
A lot of people apparently, Maggie, in high places in government engaging in mortgage fraud, including Adam Schiff and Letitia James, and now Commissioner Cook as well. The Federal Reserve is created independent of politics, preventing exactly this kind of thing from happening. This is the instability that causes economic crisis.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Dan Marcus is here. One of the snacks Dan likes, yeah, called Sen-Sen.
Kind of tart and sour.
The packaging is not great. I understand it's very old, but like you got, it's like a toffee fay or something. Like
it's like eating candy flavored charcoal.
Okay.
I am looking on Google and these packages that I'm looking at are...
Conrad likes to look at packages, yeah, on Google.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach. Happy Tuesday. Good morning, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin. When people come together with a shared goal and a collective voice, many things can be accomplished. And a prime example of this point is Groundswell Collective. They are a group of individuals from the community of Walworth County, and they come together to work on various issues that affect the people of that area directly. And I spoke to Jeremiah Gomez and Marilyn Hayden about the work they have done to help get access to transportation on Sundays for those who need it the most. But before we get into that, let's talk to Jeremiah and Marilyn about what Groundswell is, who is a part of it, and what they do for the community.
Well, Groundswell, I think in a nutshell, is really just a group of people who have a shared desire to see the people of Walworth County thrive.
Yeah,
and so it's a group of people from many different ages, stages, and backgrounds, mm-hmm, who have found this shared affinity to say, what does it look like for us to pursue the thriving of our community together, yeah, especially those who may be underserved or kind of forgotten.
Yeah, and that's something that, you know, especially in today's day and age, and we need to come together even more so as communities, mm-hmm, as we're seeing various programs, fundings being cut. It's important to look around and say, all right, how do I involve myself with the people around me? And that's something that looking at what you're doing is exactly the plan, is saying, all right, let's take care of each other, because we might be all that we have. And I don't want to say you can't rely upon government, but it shouldn't be a
in situations like this, it's where we say it's like, all right, we have to step forward and do the work first and take the bull by the horn.
Sure. And I think I can't speak for Maryland, but I think, you know, for me, I was entering into a space where there's a lot of anxiety. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of concern. I'm seeing that among the people I love and serve. And I've got to say, by connecting with people like her mm-hmm. and the others in our network, it's given me a renewed sense of hope and yeah. peace. As we say, there is an opportunity to lean forward and mm-hmm. to see the very best as yet to come as we come together. And that's been really fun to see.
Marilyn, how is what do you, as far as the group goes, what are you involved with? What are you working on? What do you do for Groundswell Collective?
Well, right now I'm interested in the transportation. Mm-hmm. I'm visually impaired, legally blind, and I don't drive. So that put me in that category of people who are grounded mm-hmm. because we have no way to get places.
And that's something that, you know, I've been in part of the conversation with for so long. I used to work for city government here in Racine.
Okay.
And one of the big, we saw the bus services being cut because mm-hmm. of cuts from the state. We saw the state saying no thank you to a plan that it was very much in the infancy. There was no real blueprint, but we just said, how about we take some of all this money that you're putting towards rebuilding our roads and widening our freeways? How about we bring a metro line up to Racine so people Ooh. From Racine could possibly have transportation to Chicago to get yeah. jobs? Like, that was, transportation was always something that was very high up on the mayor who I worked for, on his list. And it consistently is slapped down. I feel mm-hmm. like transportation, especially in busing situations for folks like yourself, Marilyn, who you need that access. A lot of times our leaders don't truly understand how important it is, because I don't think it doesn't affect them to a certain point. Mm-hmm. And the lobbying that comes from them don't have the money that, say, you know, a gun lobby or a roads lobby has. So it's up to folks like yourself to come together, organize, and speak on behalf of folks like yourself, Marilyn, who need this transportation. And that's what you did. Mm-hmm. And that's what you did in Woolworth. And not only and I don't want to give away the whole story, but it came together and it worked in stunning fashion. Can you tell yes. the story of what you all did to get more more hours on the buses than Woolworth County?
Yeah. I mean, well, it started with an awareness that Woolworth County was the only county within its kind of status that didn't have a Sunday transportation option yeah. for people.
No, wait, none?
It did not have a public Sunday transportation option.
Right. Oh, God. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is moving from something that wasn't available yeah. to, I can't remember quite what the numbers are, Marilyn, but I think it was, in January when it finally kicked off, I think it was around, did we say 20 riders?
20, I think.
And then in June, up to 200 mm-hmm. In round figures. Yeah. So that shows that there's a real need there. How that happened were folks like Marilyn showing up at those county board meetings, budget meetings, mm-hmm. but it took really connecting with her and friends that she had and friends that we had and saying, we want our leaders to know this is a real felt need, that there are real faces and stories mm-hmm. who are connected to this need. And they were responsive.
And that, I think, is the most impressive. I shouldn't be impressed by that, but I'm impressed by leaders who listen nowadays. Mm. When you hear elected officials, whether they are local, state, or federal, listening to the people and saying, all right, Marilyn, you have a need. How do we meet that mm. need? And I want to read the numbers, because I have it in the press release here. In January, in Woolworth County, when this program started, because as you said, there was no Sunday ridership Correct. Whatsoever, mm-hmm. which to me is mind-blowing, because I guess they just expected you to stay home. It was 40 trips that month in January. By June of this year, it was 229. In less than half a year, it went up by 472.5%.
Yeah.
That shows, one, to me, the power of organizing, doing exactly what you did. The leaders listening and implementing, and it becoming a return on investment, because, you know, like you have to pay for the buses, the servicing, mm-hmm. the people who did. But it obviously, with 472.5% increase, that is a net benefit for everyone, whether you're riding or you're repairing the bus.
Or you have an employee who needs to be able to get to work.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're somebody who's looking to go to church and can't connect into yeah. meaningful community in that way. So we really have seen it be a beautiful thing.
In the next hour, I'm going to be playing for you another clip from this interview I did with Jeremiah Gomez and Marilyn Hayden from Groundswell Collective. And they'll be talking about the event they're going to be holding today, this morning, their call to action for childcare. So you don't want to miss it. If you want to find out more, go to civicmedia.us/shows. Look for Matt and Air on Air, and you can find all the information in our show notes. You're listening to WAUK's Local Report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. For WAUK and Civic Media, my name is Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 6:59.
Is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. Lawmakers on Capitol Hill have released a sexually suggestive birthday letter to Jeffrey Epstein that they say was written and signed by President Trump. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
Minutes after the image was released Monday, White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt posted that the birthday card story is false, and said President Trump did not draw this picture and he did not sign it.
L.A. Mayor Karen Bass speaking out after the Supreme Court gave the Trump administration the green light to step up ICE raids in L.A.
Will that same Supreme Court next decide that it's okay if we are separate but equal? That some can marry but others can't?
The ousted head of the government agency that funds vaccine research is speaking out about Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy and his stance on childhood vaccination. CBS's Ed O'Keefe with Dr. Gene Marazzo.
Is he dangerous?
Yes.
Why?
He's dangerous because he ignores the evidence.
CBS News Brief.